Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ooh, welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. A lot has happened in the basketball world, and Josh's favorite golfer has won the U.S. Open, so buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1... We're back.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, cuz they're free. Sode 341 coming hot at you guys. And Sode 340. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Toss from Arctosopolis. And Toss, I feel like you'd appreciate this. Do you know what episode this is?
341.
Never mind, dude. I was about to say it's the pie episode. I was so stoked on that. But I just remembered pie is 314, not 341. Hate to see that.
Yeah. At least you recognized. You caught yourself.
I was ready to go. I'm like, oh, I was about to be like, I wish we were all in the studio, because Toss is in Dallas with his fam. Nick is unable to join due to Father's Day obligations. Shout out to all the dads who are recording on the Sunday night. Big thanks to my homie. Shout out to Toss's dad. And I was stoked. I was going to be like, oh, I wish we were all in studio together for a pie episode. We could all eat pie together. But that ship has long sailed. We missed the boat on that one. We owe ourselves a slice.
Love a good slice of pie. I had a slice of pie tonight, actually.
Really? What's your favorite?
Wait, are we talking pizza pie or are we talking dessert pie?
I was talking dessert pie, but you had pizza. What kind of pie did you have tonight? Dessert or pizza?
Pizza, and it was pretty mediocre. So it was a collection of there's various different types. But the issue I had with it was that it was too doughy. I didn't feel that the crust was properly cooked all the way through.
Okay. Now let me ask you this on the pizza front. Would you notice that there's a difference between the New York pizza and the Texas pizza, as you were saying that New York pizza was overrated the other night?
Meaning that it's overrated in the sense that it's supposed to be the best pizza in the world, or at least the United States, and not saying that it's not, but just saying that the places that I was taken when I visited New York, I was underwhelmed. But that could have just been that the expectations that were built up in my head were that it was going to be life-changing.
Okay, here's what I'll say this. New York pizza, not the best in the world. We had one of our buddies say Boston pizza was the best, which is absolute kick rocks. Best pizza in the world, I will die on the Italy Hill. And I don't think that's crazy. The thing that I will bet my bottom dollar on for New York, though, is the bagels. That, to me, is a major difference.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah. I feel like that was an old saying I used to have, too. You know, it's like a new one that, because the D Jack Hobbs has like made its way and infiltrated like my
for 50 like, million our, rupee. Right.
Is it 20 million or 50? We have to look that up.
Well, I think it changes, right? It continues to grow as the movie progresses.
Oh, it does continue to grow, but I don't know what that one was, but we were saying in New York, you would have loved this. If something was not a lock, it was B, Ricky Ponting. Like,
is that one of the actual answers?
Yeah, it's like the other answer that he can't. Like, it's like D. Jack.
He's between Jack Hobbs and Ricky Ponting.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
To the point, I posted something on my Instagram, like me and my father and my one of our friends, Jason, it's a friend, mutual friend of Toss and I. He said that my dad was B. Ricky Pontig, which was just so fucking funny.
You know what else is funny is, and this I guess is kind of a little bit of a case study with our listeners to see how many they are, how active they are, and how much digging they want to do. But I actually, the lead actor in Slumdog Millionaire, which is the movie that we're talking about in regards to the 50 million rupee and D. Jack Hobbs, Lock It In. the lead actor's name is Dev Patel, and he actually works out at the same gym as me.
Well, oh, you've mentioned that. Is he yoked or no?
He could outbench Nick.
Oh, so he's strong. He's also long.
He definitely couldn't outbench Nick, by the way. But he's very lean. He's got like John Isner's body type. He's thin. He's very thin.
Wow, John Isner. What a throwback to the longest game of tennis in literally everyone's entire life. That game of tennis is unending. Speaking of unending, there's a lot of endings that did happen in basketball, which was the which was the craziest. So we had the Jazz lose game six to the Clippers after blowing a 25-point lead. We had the Sixers lose game seven to the Hawks at home. And then we had the Nets lose game seven at home in an overtime heartbreaker where KD literally left his soul on the basketball court. Which game was the most surprising? Which was the craziest game? And let's start with those two questions for you.
I think that the most surprising game had to have been the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Just due to the fact that they got that first game without Kawhi. And I expected the Jazz to come roaring back and take care of business, because I truly do believe that they're the better of the two teams when you take Kawhi out of the equation, even without Mike Conley. But Mike Conley actually played in game six. This is one of those games where Utah and the Clippers are similar teams in this regard. When one of them shoots lights out, it's almost impossible for them to win. And when a guy like Terrence Mann, I mean, you always say a couple of things that we say all the time, right? One, in the playoffs, that you have to have other guys that step up, which clearly always, for the Clippers, it's happened again and again. I mean, Terrence Mann had 37 points. They have 39, something like that, which is ridiculous. It's his career high. It's his playoff high. It's his college high, like higher than any points he scored.
He hasn't done that since high school.
Yeah.
If
he even did that in high school. And Reggie Jackson has continued to step up. Marcus Morris obviously has had a couple of games. Kennard has stepped up. Boogie Cousins had he even had 11 points in today's game, which was crazy. And
I was stoked about that. That was exciting. I mean, it was a little sad. Was it sad for you? I was like, it made me miss Boogie.
Yeah, he's just, his style can't last in the NBA. Especially not now, and he's had just so many injuries that at this point,
he's done.
He can hardly move. But back to the Clippers Jazz game, that's what surprised me the most was how hot the shooting was for the Clippers. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. It almost made it look like there was nothing that the Jazz could do. They certainly weren't making a lot of adjustments. Rudy Gobert did not look like the defensive player of the year in that game. And what I was mentioning before is that, you know, in the playoffs, guys have to step up for you to get all the way there and win a championship. The other thing that, you know, we always say defensively is you have to make the guys that aren't the superstars beat you. And you kind of have to just tip your cap to the Clippers and Terrence Mann, because when you say that, you don't expect Terrence Mann or whoever it is to step up and score over 35 points.
Dude,
right?
we're saying over 35, like over 30. Yeah. Like it's, I mean, Terrence Mann scoring over 30 points in a playoff game, like a must win game for the Jazz and putting them away is insanity.
Yeah, and I look across. This is something the Clippers have been doing all season. They're the best 3-point shooting team in NBA history. I'm not surprised that they're able to hit these relatively open shots within the flow of their offense, because Rudy Gobert looked lost at sea, as you like to say, out there. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is Donovan Mitchell didn't step up. Again, I'm going back to it, the Donovan Mitchell versus Devin Booker comp. Devin Booker, game one, has his first triple-double in his career, scores 40 points against this Clippers team, takes care of business when Kawhi isn't there. You have to step up in these big games. That's what the playoffs are all about. And Donovan Mitchell just straight up didn't do that in game six.
Yeah, I mean, okay, whoa. He had a good game, though. Let's not poo-poo the game he had. He had 35-plus. It wasn't his fault they lost, necessarily. It's honestly, to me, it falls on the shoulders of Mr. Snyder, because we're sitting there watching that basketball game, and Gobert is getting burnt by Terrence Mann because they're breaking down the defense. He has to collapse in and guard the rim, and then there's no one coming to help him. Like, Mitchell had, like, look, Mitchell didn't shoot perfectly, but he still had 39. He matched Mitchell's 39, you know? I mean, let me ask you this thing, because we saw something similar in the Nets game. Conley clearly was not at full health. Harden's clearly not at full health. Is it an issue for you that some of these guys are coming back from full health, and yeah, they're great players, but they're really just occupying time and minutes? Is it worth it at that point to have the quote-unquote better guy out, even if they're not at full health?
Yeah, I'm always going to pick James Harden to do anything better than Tyler Johnson. Like, what are the alternatives there? Mike James for 45 minutes. Like, I love what he's, you know, his moments that he's had. He's a decent spark plug off the bench, but I'm still going to, James Harden is, I mean, he was atrocious. He was really, really bad. He was two for 13 from three. One of those was a chuck at the end of the quarter that banked in. He was not, I mean, the one thing you can say about Mike James is he's going to be a non-factor. James Harden was a huge factor. He shot a lot of shots and missed a lot of them. I mean, you look at that team. Clearly, Kevin Durant put it all out on the floor. He's inches away from winning that game because his foot's on the line in regulation when he hits that shot. Giannis, I think in the last game, the distance that he was averaging from where he was taking the shots from the rim was 5.6 feet. So he's learning, or Bud is telling him, stay in the paint, dominate there, because we don't want you taking mid-range shots. We don't want you taking three-point shots. This team's big is Blake Griffin and Claxton, but Claxton wasn't even getting good minutes. So dominate. Get in there and assert yourself. And that's what he did in this game. And, you know, Middleton obviously helped out, and the other guys didn't help KD out one lick. I mean, Joe Harris was atrocious this entire series. It's one of the worst series I've seen from a role player. Again, going to go back to that, other guys have to step up outside of the superstars. Mm-hmm. And what they can't do is what we've criticized guys, you know, Danny Green last year in the finals, almost loses them the finals, right? You've got Trevor Ariza in the Western Conference Finals when the Rockets play the Warriors, and he shoots them out of that game. Terry Rozier, we talked about it the other day on the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean,
when you shoot that poorly, that's how you lose a game.
I just, the thing with the Bucks, I mean, it was almost like the Bucks should have taken care of business. That's why I'm concerned about the Bucks. And I know they're even money. And first of all, I do not think this Atlanta team's a joke by any stretch of the imagination. They are absolutely 100% for real, and it's a dangerous matchup for the Bucks unless Giannis gets in the goddamn paint. I don't know what took him so long. We said it from the jump at the beginning of the series. Get Giannis in the paint. I don't know what Gobert and Snyder were doing. I don't know why. Gobert had 12 points in that game six. Ayton, on the other hand, had 12 points at the half.
Yeah, they went to him. He got the first possession. He grabbed an offensive rebound and scored a two.
What did I text you? And I texted you right away. I go, Ayton game. And you know what? That's how you do it. Because you let Ayton go in there, and you let him cook, and you let him beat you in the middle.
Exploit the matchup.
And that Devin Booker didn't have to get cooking early. He could kind of ease into the game, and come second half, he's just lights out and takes over. And that's been proves, yes, he's a superstar. Proves, yes, he probably is better than Donovan Mitchell.
You truly believe
offensively.
He's better than Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, okay. He's better than Donovan Mitchell. He proved the point.
Guy's never even played a playoff game, and he's ice cold. I texted you and our other buddy that I want to put together, we always make top five lists, but like top five of the purest scores, like aesthetic scores in the game. And he and PG are both on that top five. That first team, all NBA, just silky smooth. Like, they're there. They're both there.
Yeah. I mean, that rest of that, I mean, I think this is going to be a quick series, if no Kawhi. And he's already missing game two automatically. It's not going to get easier for the Clippers. No, like Terrence Mann night's not every night.
You're missing 25 points per game last series from Chris Paul. That's got to factor in somewhere.
Yeah, it's going to factor in next game. He's coming back next game. He's going to be there on Tuesday. So he's going to be there Tuesday night, and it's just not going to get any easier. And guess what? That shoulder that was injured, his body that was aching, he's got a lot of time to rest now. They take care of you. That was a must win for the Clippers, man. And they did not take care of it. I mean, like, look, they tried, but like at the same time, Ayton is playing his best basketball. You have Booker and you have Cameron Payne, who like Cameron Payne is like, it just goes to show you sometimes you gotta be a little patient with these guys sometimes.
Yeah.
Look, you can't wait 9-10 years for guys to kind of get it together. The NBA, there's too many other guys coming in. But it goes to a point of like a guy like Cameron Payne, whoever, who was a lottery pick, everyone kind of wrote him off. He started picking up steam last year, and then lo and behold, he's really good now. He's a great pack. He's a great backup point guard.
Sometimes you just got to be in the right place, right?
You do have to change the scenery. You do have to be in the right place at the right time. But
the Clippers made 23. They made 23s tonight. That's tough. That's tough to lose a game by 6 points when you make 23s.
I mean, it is. That's why I was like, oh, they blew it, but not really. I mean, they really just did everything. I don't know what else they could have done necessarily. Like, if you look, I mean, like Paul George could have shot the ball a bit better, but Reggie Jackson has played his best basketball maybe of his entire life. Honestly, yeah. Maybe of his entire life.
He's been awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if you could hear that. I keep trying to look at the box score on ESPN, and ESPN has these dumbass ads always playing on loud. It's like absolutely suck me from the back, dude. I'm just trying to record a podcast without annoying ass ads bumping in the middle. I can't even take them out. But yeah, I mean, like, they just got manhandled in the middle. Like, Booker out-rebounded rebounded everybody on the Clippers. He's been rebounding fantastically, by the way.
Yeah, he's averaging 7 rebounds a game through the playoffs, which is great.
I mean, that was, they out rebounded them. They out assist the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I mean, the Suns ball movement, even without Chris Paul, it's just such a well oiled machine. And now, like, I honestly have been such a Thibodeau, like, Thibodeau's the guy, Thibodeau's the head coach of the year. This to me was like, okay. This is where Monty Williams, you know, shows his handprint on the team, in a sense.
Yeah, with the player assist from Coach Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean, but CP3 is out here making TikToks at home, enjoying family time, and these boys go in the desert and take care of business. I like Cam Johnson a lot. He's just like a great guy. I mean, that was a good pick. Smart, cerebral guy, a veteran young guy. Meaning, an upperclassman that comes in that, you know, he's not going to be a superstar, but you know he's going to be a contributor right away. And those 24 minutes. Yeah, those 24 minutes are so valuable.
Well, I think GM of the Suns, James Jones, probably saw a lot of himself in Cam Johnson, right? He's a tall, rangy guy that can shoot, has a good offensive mind, knows his role. Like, he's an upperclassman, like you said. I really like him, especially if he's coming off the bench for you and you're not relying on him to do too much. Cameron Payne's first step is really impressive. I mean, he can get a bucket late in the shot clock, as he showed tonight, where he just burned the defender, and it's just easy at the rim.
Yeah,
they blink and he's by them, and he's laying it in.
He's the opposite of silky smooth like Booker is from shooting. His three-point shot is gross.
Yeah, it's gross. It's gross.
It is so uncomfortable to watch. And it goes in, and it's like, you almost don't even want it to go in. It's so ugly. But tip your cap to him. And the Sixers situation is just, I mean, it just proves the point. It's over. Like, you can't.
You got to get Simmons off that team.
You can't win. You can't win the championship if your primary ball handler is not an efficient scorer. I'm not even talking about elite anymore. I'm just talking about an efficient scorer. In this day and age, like Steph Curry's your primary ball handler. Like, he's an efficient scorer. Chris Paul can score the rock. I mean, I guess in the Clippers, like, you'll have times where it's like, you know, Reggie Jackson, by the way, who was scoring the basketball like no other. And then you have Rondo. But Paul George, and how many times did Paul George and Kawhi bring it up? You know, if your guy is bringing up the basketball, he needs to be a threat to score. And Ben Simmons, not only is not a threat to score, you can just foul him late in the game. And by the way, that first, the front end of the free throw he took when it was 93-89, maybe like 50-something
seconds. Minute
20. Minute 20, yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That he just shoots like a laser at the backboard.
He clanks that thing.
Clanked it. Yeah. I was like, dude, like I honestly, like I was thinking, I go, okay, I'm definitely a worse free throw shooter. But by how much? You for sure are a better free throw shooter than him. You are.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think it was pretty clear. Another instance in the game where I was watching with my brother, and he was on his computer, and so he wasn't really looking at the TV, and I audibly go, like, oh my God! Like, I audibly went like that, because Ben Simmons, he spun baseline on Danilo Gallinari. The score was 88-86. The Hawks were up 2. And he had a wide open dunk. The guy's 6'10". Dunking for him is like walking for me.
Yeah.
And he passed it to Thybul, who luckily got a foul. It was a bailout call. And he went to the line and he hit 1 for 2. But just the fact that Ben Simmons, it was so in his head that even being right at the rim, I mean, he could have jumped up and kissed the rim. He was that close. And he passed it is just the proof right
he is,
there.
That, he has the yips, dude.
That he's Spaceman Lee up in he's an astronaut. There's a reference for you, John Fisher.
Shout out to Father's Day.
Mets pitcher Spaceman Lee. Yeah. Happy Father's Day to all the pops out there. Especially Kevin Herter, who is Ben Simmons' dad, apparently.
Well, that's just the role player stepping up. I mean, Trae Young didn't even have a good. Trae Young had a bad game, shooting wise.
Yeah, if that's an indication of that, this Hawks team is not to be trifled with. I mean, they have guys that can step up. Hunter and Bogdanovich didn't even play in this game. Or Bogdanovich played early and then left with the injury. You've got Gallinari stepping up with a huge steal and a huge three late in the game. Capella catches a lob. Collins is doing the dirty work. Draws a charge on JoJo late. Like. Everyone on this team is stepping up. No all NBA guys, no all stars, no all defensive players, and they're still getting it done.
I kind of like Okongwu, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, he's savvy. If this isn't proof, also more indication that Lloyd Pierce should probably not be an NBA head coach
ever again,
because Nate McMillan has completely turned this team around.
I mean, where was any of these? Where were the Pelicans when McMillan was not a heck? When he's like, okay, the Pacers are firing McMillan, and you are the front office of the Pelicans. You know McMillan's a good coach.
Yeah,
you know he's well liked around the league.
Well, this is what happens: the head coach gets fired, and then to get back into a position where they become a head coach again, not to say that Lloyd Pierce can't change, he can't learn, he can't become a better X's and O's guy or just a better player manager, he can. And what will happen is he'll be an assistant coach, just like Nate McMillan was this year. But I think Nate McMillan proved again and again that he took a team that should not have been making the playoffs most of those years and got to the playoffs. Sometimes it's a 4 or 5 seed. Mm. He is a tremendous guy. He's a tremendous head coach. He knows how to squeeze the best out of his players.
Mm-hmm.
And he can coach in the playoffs. He's coached in big games before. And that experience is just resonating all across the board for his players. And they are stepping up to the challenge. I mean, to go to Philadelphia and win this Game 7 on the road is incredible.
I think they're going to win.
You think they're going to beat the Bucks?
I think they're going to beat Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee got lucky, because Milwaukee, that Nets team, blatantly not that deep. Harden is playing on one leg, his worst basketball. He can't even play realistically. He's out there as like a decoy. Right. KD took them to the brink. I know it's Kevin Durant, but this Hawks team is dangerous, man. Look, Drew Holiday had a great fourth quarter, but up until that point was playing absolute dog shit and not shooting well. You cannot, this is not a team where you're like, okay, Giannis can go exploit the paint. Those days are over. You got Capella, you got Okongwu. You have other guys that can, you know, play defense. You have Hunter. You could put Hunter on him and keep him at bay, and then he tries to drive in. You have Capela. I mean, this is like a very versatile, again, like we've been saying, a very deep Atlanta team. And it's a team, it's an Atlanta team that if they're hot and shooting the basketball, it's going to be tough for that Milwaukee team to keep up because they match up very well against them. And Milwaukee has proven to not show up at times when it comes from shooting the shit. I think it. Am I crazy? Or do you think Milwaukee? You think Milwaukee's fully got it?
Sorry about that, but I think that they've fully got it? No, not at all. Not after what I witnessed from watching the Hawks play. I mean, that's a gritty win. I don't think anything is written in stone. I think Giannis is a matchup nightmare for anyone, but they've got bodies they can throw at him. And I think we're going to see a lot of Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton having to prove themselves once again. If Bryn Forbes can, you know, if he can kind of catch some fire here, if Connaughton can catch fire for this series, that's going to go a long way for them. If they can figure out a way to get Brook Lopez more involved on the offensive side, that can help out. But yeah, I'm almost leaning in the same direction as you right now, where the Hawks team just has a ton of weapons and they've stepped up defensively. Like, I don't see why they feel like their scheme fit is A+ right now, right? Like that they're ready to go. They're ready to take this series and they're not afraid. They're not afraid to play big on the road and win those road games, which you can't be.
I feel like we're about to witness something that we really rarely witness in basketball, and that's a changing of the guard, literally. If Atlanta wins this series and Trae Young's the face, if Phoenix wins this series, for all intents and purposes, we don't know how fully healthy Chris Paul is. It's going to be on the back of Booker, most likely, with the assist from CP3. It's a full-on take. I can't remember a time where like two young guys just fully took their teams to the championship and met in the championship like this. I'm really trying to think. Like two young, like that young Thunder team, they still met like Wade, who had won at that point. They met LeBron, who had been there twice already at that point. And obviously Bosh. I mean, they met vets. I'm trying to think of like a young mate. Can you, like, that first Warriors team that went there and won? Like, yeah, like they're young. But at that point they went against LeBron. So it's like I'm looking for like a real young versus young guy, and I just can't. I don't. Maybe I'm blanking. I just don't really recall it, where two young guys go in there and they go duel it out, and that's what we're about. I mean, obviously you have Chris Paul, who's as good of a vet as you can ask for, but if Trae Young and Devin Booker goes, it's really the ultimate changing of the guards, unlike anything I think I've seen in sports.
Well, just think about it this way. If we consider that Kawhi Leonard is probably more hurt than they're leading on, and that he won't play the rest of the playoffs, then how many guys on the current four rosters have played in the finals before? Serge Ibaka.
I mean, come on.
Not getting minutes right now. Has Jay Crowder played? He played on the Miami
Crowder
team last year.
I'm trying to think. I'm really trying to think. Crowder has.
I don't.
Has. Who won the Clippers? Someone on the Clippers must have. I don't think so. I don't think any of them have played. At this point, how many of the.
Outside of Crowder and Ibaka, and again, Ibaka is like an asterisk because he's not even really playing right now. I can't think of a guy. Who Tucker hasn't been there. Holiday, Middleton, Giannis, none of them have been there. No one on the Hawks has been there.
I mean, Serge Ibaka is out for their whole playoffs. So, I mean, he would be the guy, him and Crowder, but like, that's it. Crowder's the only, I mean, Ibaka's won a ring, but again, he's hurt. So none of these guys have been there before, which is a great narrative. I mean, the narratives are good. Paul George, if he goes, he's led his team there, and it's like he's proven all the haters wrong from last year, and he's proven that he belongs in that conversation of upper echelon guys. Giannis kind of, you know, gets his shot when everyone's saying that you can't win with Giannis as your best player. Or we get what we're discussing, it's the two young guys going at it, and all of a sudden, that changes a bit of the narrative for the Luka trade, which is exciting for me because I've been saying that it's not been a bad deal for the longest of times. But in the onset, there's a new beast in the East.
I still disagree. I mean, no, I think my brother and I were talking about it because what else are we supposed to talk about right now as Rome crumbles in Dallas? I think that you still can't say that because one, Cam Reddish is terrible, and two, the rest of the front office in Atlanta did a fantastic job of putting other pieces around Trae Young. I mean, this game is a sign of two things. One, that Trae Young obviously has an impact outside of scoring the basketball, but two, that they put the right pieces around him where that team can be successful, mm-hmm. even if he doesn't have a good game.
It could be like one of those situations where it's like,
if you look at those two rosters, Luka is the best player, Trae Young is the second best player, and then 3 through 6 are Bogdanovich is better, Collins is better, then maybe KP next, but then Capella. You've got Gallinari, Lou Will, Clint Capella.
Well, let's not discredit Timmy Handjobs. Like, Timmy Handjobs is great.
Herter, like all. Sure, Herter and Tim Hardaway are about the same from the way Herter's playing right now.
No, come on, man. Hardaway's better than Herter. Hardaway's better than Hunter. Hardaway's probably on the level Gallinari is right now. Maybe slightly below.
I would argue that Gallinari, Herter, and Hunter are like all at the same level. If we're going to compare players like this, like we have to kind of put them into tiers and categories. Like at that point, is Hardaway that much better than any of the three of them? Not really. Like if you're
he's more consistent. I would like to think.
I guess, but Collins and Bogdanovich are clearly better than KP at this point.
Yeah. Oh heck yeah. You're not gonna get any argument from me there. You ain't getting no argument from me there. You know how I feel about Kristaps. Stinks.
Yeah. So overrated. I've named like 7 players on the Hawks in comparison to the Mavs 3 players.
Let me throw this comparison out then. It's going to be like this. Michael was blatantly better than Hakeem, but you can't fault the Rockets necessarily for going Hakeem number one. He did enough. I think it's going to be like one of those situations where Luka's just always clearly going to be better than Trey, but it's like, okay, it's not the end of the world. It's not like you traded him for JJJ or who's been hurt or MB3 who's been hurt. At least he got one of the big three guys in the top 5. Ayton being the third at this point, who I'm a huge fan of his.
Yeah, I hope that anyone who watches basketball has become a fan of DeAndre Ayton. But I guess like we don't need to play this hypothetical out too much longer because it's not super relevant. The Mavs aren't in the playoffs right now. But I think if we're going to continue to do this, we have to wait. We have to wait a really long time then, because then in 10 years, like we don't know what Luka will be. The question is like, how good will Trae Young be if both of them stay healthy throughout the history of the NBA? And all signs point to Luka being a potentially all-time player.
Yeah, I mean, also, 10 years. I mean, I could have two dicks ripping bong on Mars. Who the hell is going to... No one knows what's going to happen in 10 years at this point, the way the world's headed.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's good. That is a... That's fair. Modern medicine's crazy. That's fair, though. We'll wait on it. But I think it's... Look, I've been so happy with Trae Young, and I've been happy that it's great for them, the Knicks, that they did this, that they proved that the Knicks... Yeah, maybe they weren't necessarily ready, but it proved that they were still a good team. The Hawks were just really, really good and dangerous. And I think this is going to be another series where it goes to 7, which if the Suns could somehow get out in 5 or 6 without Kawhi being there, assuming that's the case, giving Chris Paul even more rest, I think the Suns are in the best spot to win. And I would love to see... I think the most fun matchup, I think, would be... I really think Atlanta-Phoenix would be a fun one. I really think... I think the city of Atlanta is ready. I really do. They've been always on the cusp in basketball. The Braves are always right there, but haven't really gotten it done in I don't God knows how long, but they're always right there. The Falcons are so close, and then they're back, and just a whirlwind of emotions. It's a poppin' city, and I would love it for Atlanta to get there. That's where my narrative also is right now.
This can't happen to this team just by nature of the fact that they've over-accomplished at this point. I think it's very clear, no matter what people thought of them coming into the season. But we could get an epic collapse once again from an Atlanta team. I hope that it doesn't happen because I want them to do well, but we might see them beat the Bucks and then get swept by the Suns.
If the Hawks were to collapse, like the Falcons were, and several, like the Georgia Bulldogs have multiple times, I would laugh so hard in anybody's face on the side of the road. I mean, that also would bring me some serious joy, because that's just sports humor at its best.
Yeah, but I'm kidding when I say that, because anything that they do at this point is so great for their team and such a young cast of characters that it's really impressive.
It is, but there's nothing. But if it does get to that point,
there's nothing they can do at this point. You think if they get swept by the Suns that people are like, haha, Atlanta sports, classic?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if it gets to like game seven, they're up 10 with like 3 minutes to go and they lose. That's awesome.
Well, that's kind of what just happened to Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, you take a kick rock. Philadelphia needed this. The Philadelphia 76ers needed to lose this game so they can go, okay, we have Joel Embiid. We got to keep Seth Curry in the mix. We have Thybulle, who I'm a huge fan of, and Tobias Harris played his best basketball. All we really need to do is figure out some way, somehow, send Simmons off and get Dame.
Yeah.
Send Simmons off and get Westbrook. Send Simmons off and get whatever. You know what? Honestly, here's a hot take. I'd rather have Malcolm Brogdon on that team.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think that's crazy. Call up the Pacers and try to sell high on Simmons over Brogdon. Bring Brogdon in. He's a cerebral player. Is he the athletic freak that Simmons is? No. Is he the versatile defender, or just let alone defender, that Simmons is? No.
No,
but honestly, for all intents and purposes, you have Thybulle. You have Embiid. You have a great defensive, and Harris is great on defense. You have a very good defensive team as it is. You can sacrifice a little bit. So your primary ball handler could be a 90-40-50 guy, and not a guy who can't hit the red side of a barn.
Yeah, I do think I like that. It's a good fit for them. He's a great player. I think any team prospers when Malcolm Brogdon, you know, jumps onto their roster. There is not another team who is primed to go get, if Damian Lillard comes to the front office in Portland and says he wants to get traded, how many other teams are looking to fling a trade piece, a valuable trade piece, like the Sixers will be looking to move Simmons? And Daryl Morey has a quick trigger, and he likes making moves. Who else can really compete with that outside of a team like, you know, we've talked about like the Celtics having to like trade Jaylen Brown, like, which they don't want to do, but the Sixers are going to want to move Ben Simmons here. They're going to want to move him,
dude. The Heat, maybe. Do the Heat have the picks? I don't know. The Heat, not necessarily, but there are other teams. I'll give me one split second because I'm going to get this, because Ben Simmons, is he that valuable? We all know we know what we're getting, dude. Like, he's not as valuable as, like, you can't win with him. Like, the Blazers, the Simmons is not
sure,
enough.
But it would have to be a bevy of picks. Of course, but if you're the Portland Trailblazers and you're giving up Dame Lillard because Dame Lillard is telling you he wants to be traded and you're respecting him because he's played with your franchise, brought you to, you know, Western Conference Finals and taken you to the playoffs year after year and given you his heart and soul, like, you have to, at that point, make an evaluation and say, okay, whoever we're getting in return is not Dame Lillard, a top 11 player in the league, and we're not going to make it to the second round of the Western playoffs next year. So we have to get whatever we can. And in that case, we're bashing Ben Simmons, but he's still, in my mind, based off of his playmaking, his rebounding ability, his defensive versatility, a top 25 player in the league, no?
Yeah, but like that's a guy you need to put the right team around his ass. You need to put the right team around his ass for sure. Like, are we gonna? Can he even be? Can you do the Lonzo?
But you could.
Simmons
but you
swap?
Can.
I don't even know.
You can move McCollum too. If you're moving Lillard, you might as well move McCollum. And at that point, like, you're blowing it up, kind of. But you're blowing it up. But you have assets that you can move to get young, valuable assets in return, and that's what Simmons is.
The first team I'm calling if I'm Portland is Denver. Give me Jamal Murray and something else. and I'll send you Dame. Dame, Jokic, MPJ, title. It's the first team I'm calling. I love Murray. Hope he comes back healthy. It was unfortunate he wasn't there this year. All that being said, that's what needs to happen for Denver to win a title probably, and it actually is a good deal. I think it's a better deal for the Blazers because at least Murray can score.
But if I'm the Nuggets, I want to see what MPJ, Murray, and Jokic look like together.
Dude, come on.
You might have to.
It's Dame.
You might have to give up Jamal Murray and Mike MPJ, though. You might have to give up.
No, you can't do that. Well, that's crazy. Well,
Jamal Murray is Jamal Murray. He's not Ben Simmons. He's not worth as much as Ben Simmons is. Even still, even with the performance that Ben put up in the playoffs, I can't look at them as equal trade value.
You got to go picks then. You got to go picks. That's it.
It's a team.
Picks and Murray.
We know that Morey will be looking to move Simmons. I do not believe that Denver will be looking to move Jamal Murray because they didn't get to see what was probably the second best team in the West after the Lakers being hurt. The Lakers not injured with Davis and LeBron. They won the title last year. I think that the Nuggets with Murray, MPJ, and Jokic were the second best team in the West.
Oh, they can do it, but it's more of a, but to go back to Slumdog Millionaire, D-Jax, if you have Dame. Now, I'll say this, just to, you know, close out the basketball on the Sixers side of things, because they just got eliminated. Do we discuss this on the podcast? Do we discuss this on the couch or on the radio? One of the three. Ant-Man for Simmons, or just like around town. Like, can that be a thing? Can the Timberwolves get involved here?
If I'm the Sixers, I'm not taking that trade.
Really?
Yes. Really.
All right.
He's not a point guard. Don't pretend that Anthony Edwards is not LaMelo Ball. They're two separate guys.
Do you go to the Hornets then, or no? The Hornets can't do that.
No, because they've got a franchise cornerstone. They'll never give him up. And Anthony Edwards is not a franchise cornerstone, at least not yet. He's had a great rookie year. He's seen to be a really good scorer, but we haven't seen enough out of him defensively, playmaking-wise, like even consistently shooting the three at a good clip. Again, there's time to watch him develop. He's just a rookie, but it's a very, very – you're giving up a lot before you've seen a lot, and that's a tough trade.
That's true. I'm going to throw one out there that it won't happen, but it's interesting. They're going to call Chicago.
For LaVine?
They're going to call him for LaVine. I don't think Chicago's going to say yes, but they'll call
him. They might have to, because do we see LaVine re-signing as an unrestricted free agent next year in Chicago?
Hell to the nah.
You might as well get him in the contract year for what you can. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty clear that he's gonna want to be out of
bounce.
That. Yeah.
He's going to bounce, dude. That trade for Vooch was terrible. Even if Vooch is good, he gave a top 10 pick. Horrible deal. Horrible. Horrible deal. Now you may have to trade for Simmons. all right, well, shout out John Rahm, my favorite golfer, won the U.S. Open. I didn't watch much golf this weekend, but I'm stoked. I always loved John Rahm. He's my favorite golfer for God knows how long.
Torrey Pines. Shout out to Nick. San Diego course right there.
Yeah, shout out to Nick. Shout out to Nick's family. And then, you know what, Toss, will close out this. Wander Franco, look out for him. Rays phenom, number one prospect in baseball. He's here. He's arrived. They called him up, 19 years old. Should be exciting.
Olympic qualifiers going on right now, too. So
that's great. And Euro Cup.
And the Euro Cup. Yeah, there's a lot of good sports going on.
Go to Bet Online and bet on it. Bet Online. Online sportsbook experts.
BetOnline.ag. Lock in that Suns in 4 bet because it's only, the odds are going to get worse and worse after every single game.
that guy was at the game.
He's on Cameo now. if you so desire, you can go to Cameo.
That's a lock for me.
And request Suns in 4 guy, and he will say Suns in 4. If for anyone who doesn't know who that is, there was an altercation in the stands between a Suns fan and two Nuggets fans in Game 3 of that series. The Suns fan punched the Nuggets fans in the face and then looked at dead eye into the camera and said Suns in 4. And Devin Booker has given him tickets to the Western Conference final games.
I'm DMing him, getting him on the pod.
Why not?
Yeah. Also, just I get one of my college friends group, like Instagram group, just thought the polls I had today was ridiculous with the Mother's Day poll, Father's Day polls. Did you see those, Toss?
No, I didn't. What were some of them?
Your mom tells you she's been seeing someone. Who would you rather that someone be? LeBron, Lakers tickets, Saban, Bama tickets. Who would you rather have come in and be your stepfather? Give me Clay, Tannehill. He seems aight.
I'm going to go with Lakers tickets and yeah. Clay.
Okay. Who would you rather have as your...
I don't know what Clay's marital status is, and I know that Tannehill has a wife, so that's part of the reasoning. And
very
and
wholesome of you.
Clay is great on the mic. I mean, we've seen him sideline report a couple of games in his injured state, and he's pretty... Mm-hmm. He's awesome. He's really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a man.
Here's one for you.
Yeah.
Who would you rather be your stepfather? Drake? Or Michael B. Jordan?
Are they both banging Amari Bailey's mom? Like, what's going on there? I'm going to make it. I'm going to talk to Joey. We need Amari Bailey in a Raptors uni. He's not going to know what that means, but I'll talk to him about it. Joey, our graphic designer. Shout out to him.
So who's your pick?
Drake. Not even close.
You're not a big MBJ guy?
I'm a medium MBJ guy. I'm a big Drake guy. I love Drake. It's closetly. Not many people know that about me.
Huge Drake fan. You don't like, what do you mean? You're all about telling people that you like other bands that are well liked, like the Chili Peppers and Fish.
That's different though.
Those are bands that are very well liked by a lot of people.
Well, no, I'm not saying I don't mean closet in the sense like I'm ashamed of it. I mean like people don't know that side of my music taste. People think I just like those two bands. That's all people think I listen to. So I listened to the Chili Peppers a lot, but I listened to a lot of Rufus. I listened to a lot of Odessa. I listened to like a lot of EDM stuff. And I listen, you know, I've been in this band Jungle lately. I love Alabama Shakes. And everyone just like, I get in the car and people
go. Red Hot Chili Peppers though.
Yeah, they're my favorite band ever for sure. But that's like fine. Like, I'm allowed to be obsessed. We're going to bounce here, but I want to make it known to you that I'm about to DM the Sons and Four guy to come on our show.
Cool. I look forward to talking to him.
That'd be dope. Fans out there, drag both feet and bounce, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free, and hit your free throws. Why?
Because they free.
Because they free. We out you. We love you.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.